Good evening. Glad you could join us here at Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran Church. We are going to be following the order of evening prayer, for this is our final midweek Lenten service. Next week begins Holy Week. So we got Palm Sunday, we got Maundy Thursday, Good Friday as well. Maundy Thursday we'll be having a service at 6:30, Good Friday at 6:30 too. So tonight, though, evening prayer is found on page 243 in your LSB. Then also, if you've got a ribbon, go to the front of your hymnal and place that ribbon at Psalm 43:4-3, and then I will announce the hymns as we get to them. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening, and the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness, and illumine your church. Joyous light of glory of the immortal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ, we have come to the setting of the sun. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation, and we, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Open, God, for
for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend on us, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever. Amen. Our first reading for this evening comes from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bones. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, for those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. We turn in our hymnals to hymn 752, 752, Be Still My Soul. Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the fifth midweek of Lent comes from our Old Testament reading of Ezekiel. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. As far the text. Ezekiel is brought by the hand of the Lord to the valley of dry bones. He's a prophet. He receives special and direct revelation from God, but he can't conjure up or entice the hand of God. Ezekiel cannot force God to reveal any of these revelations at any time that he wants. To be a prophet, and I dare say, to perhaps even a greater extent, to be a Christian, is to be at the mercy of the Lord. Ezekiel received when the Lord gave, how the Lord gave, and to the extent that the Lord gave. Ezekiel can only declare what God gave him to speak. False prophets were plentiful during that time. I dare say it really hasn't changed much today either. But false prophets give a false word that offers no real hope and no real salvation. Their intent is selfish and short-sighted. But at the end of the day, a true prophet of God proclaims true comfort and hope and salvation, for they are the mouthpiece of God, and God desires the salvation of his people. Before Ezekiel lays a field of dry bones, not even skeletons, just dry, dusty bones, Yahweh asks him a simple question: can these bones live? It's a question that seems to have a simple and straightforward answer. If Ezekiel would have been asked this question by a normal person, his response would have been quick and to the point. Of course not, you idiot. They're bones. But when posed by God, Ezekiel is at a loss. And here's the first place that we should maybe take a moment and ponder what's going on. Oftentimes, we're presented with a question or a situation in our life where the way forward or the correct answer seems to be quite clear. Other times, like we're all experiencing today in our coronavirus-infected world, we have absolutely no clue whatsoever. What's to become of us? What is the world going to look like tomorrow or next week or this summer or next year? How is it that we as society are going to be able to return to anything that resembles normalcy? All of these questions and infinitely more have plagued each and every single one of us every day. They're the first things that we think about when we wake up in the morning. They're the last things that we think about when we shut our eyes at the close of night. We would like to say that we have the answer. And if not us, then the experts, the scientists, the government, but the truth of the matter is, no one has a clue. And when we don't have a clue, then fear creeps in and refuses to go away. The unknown of tomorrow always looks scariest the day before. Now, the examples of our life today and the situation that Ezekiel is going through aren't exactly the same, but there is one glaring similarity between the two that shouldn't be overlooked. Both we and Ezekiel are forced to admit that we're at a loss. There's no amount of human reasoning that's going to give us a perfect and comforting answer. Can these bones live? What is tomorrow going to look like? All that either of us can say is, O Lord God, you know. And perhaps that is where we should find our comfort. God knows. And this comfort is more than just the fact that God knows the future. Of course, he knows the future. And it's even more than what Ezekiel might be thinking. God, if you want these bones to live, then they will live. You're God. You can do anything. We can find greater comfort than in God's omnipotence and in the fact that he's omniscient. The greatest comfort of all is not that God is God, but that God is our God, and we are his people. Prophesy to these bones, Ezekiel. Tell them that I will gather them together and put sinews on them. I will cause muscles to form and organ systems to work in unison. I'll place skin over them, and I'll give them eyes and ears. Prophesy this, Ezekiel. So Ezekiel does, and what he proclaims takes place. And this harkens us back to creation. to a God who creates the world and the human race through his word. This alone is a wonderful thing, but there's more. For there was no breath of life in these bodies. There was no spirit. God has created humanity as something set apart from the rest of creation. We're not inanimate objects, and we are even greater in the eyes of our God than the animals. Within us is the breath of life, the spirit breathed into us by the Spirit of God himself. Again, Ezekiel is told to prophesy, but this time it's to the four winds of the earth. Prophesy to those winds and tell them to breathe life into these bodies. And again, this harkens us back to Genesis, where God breathes the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. Humanity is not just God's plaything. All of creation is more than just some fishbowl that God has created in order to amuse himself. And here, too, is another comfort that we can find. God cares for us. God loves us. He created us to live, not to die, and not to walk around like soulless robots. But he created us with the express intent to be one with us, to be united with us, to have communion with us. And if we have a God like this, if we have a God who is more than an inventor, but instead a father, then we have the assurance that he will see us as his children and will take care of us as such. But life is hard. Sin has made it to be this way. Sin has thrown this world into a tailspin. Sin, original sin that caused this world and our human flesh to be fallen, has put us in a place where we suffer and we groan and we die and we're brought to despair. In normal times, and wouldn't we all like to be in one of those normal times again? In normal times, the suffering of this world comes in ebbs and flows. Usually it's one person who suffers while another is joyful. But every once in a while, we come to a place where the entire world, all of creation, suffers the same. We're at one of those times. And it's at these times when we call out to God the exact same words that exceedingly great army cried out in our text. Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Isn't this our collective and individual cry today? Isn't that exactly what we've all been praying to God in one way or another? It feels like you've abandoned us, Lord. It feels as if you have cut us off from everything that we hold dear. We can't do the things that we once did. We won't be able to do those things in God knows how long. Goodness, we can't even gather together at church and sing your praises and receive your gifts the way that we once did. Where are you, God? Why have you abandoned us, God? How long, O God? These are good things to cry out to our Heavenly Father. In fact, he desires us to do so. In a world full of sin and death, in a world full of coronavirus and uncertainty, in a world that is fallen and diseased and dying, we should cry these things out to God. God knew the trouble of those dry bones, the trouble of that exceedingly great army. He knew that death had come upon them, and that they were convinced that that was the end. For isn't that what death seems like? Isn't that what the coffin and the grave cry out to us? How are we to overcome these evil foes? How are we to overcome death and the grave? For death is coming to all of us. Maybe it will be the coronavirus. Hopefully it won't. But it will be something. And in that moment, we'll all cry out the exact same thing, save us, O God. So God gives Ezekiel another word to prophesy. Behold,
I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I shall put my spirit within you, and you shall live.
God's word of comfort and promise is the word and promise of the resurrection. That's the end all and the final word, the only word that can speak to death, that death will not be the death of you.
We're coming to the end of Lent, and to borrow a popular meme that's been floating around Facebook, this Lent will go down as in history as being the lentiest Lent that has ever been lented. If Lent is a time that is used to bring us to repentance, if Lent is a time in which our Lord strips us bare and takes away all of the false idols that we found ourselves worshiping, if Lent is the time in which our Lord uses anything and everything to bring us back to Him, then yes, this might very well be the lentiest Lent ever. But that, in a way in which only the Lord can accomplish, is a good thing. For where else can we derive any real hope or comfort except in God? And not just a God who started this whole world spinning and then walked away, but a God who saw what sin had done to His beloved creation, to His beloved people, and then promised to make it right again. And more than that, He's a God that just didn't decide to fix it while He stayed way up there in heaven, but instead came down to this veil of tears and took on our flesh to live this very life of ours. He's a God who knows our pain and our agonies because He made Himself to be one with us. And He's a God who took all of those sufferings and pain and agonies into Himself, sin, death, even the coronavirus, to the cross and crucified them dead. God became man so that He could climb into our grave and make it His own. And it is the beginning, and it is because of this, that we have comfort and hope as we sit staring into our own graves or the graves of our loved ones. Our grave is Christ's grave, and Christ's grave is our grave. And if He burst forth from His, then we shall burst forth from ours. Nothing can keep us buried within, because we've been baptized into His death and resurrection. He will open our graves and put His Spirit within us, and we shall live. And He will place us in our own land, a land of new creation, a land free from death and disease, a land free from suffering and sin, a land free from coronavirus, a heavenly land of perfection and complete unity with Him. Our bones will not be dry. Our hope is not lost. We are indeed not cut off. How do we know that all of this will come to be? Because He is the Lord, and He has spoken, and He will do it. In the name of Jesus, amen. We turn again in our hymnals to page 248 for the Magnificat.
My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has regarded the lowliness of His handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
In peace let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For Matthew and Roger, for all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord. For Donald, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the faithful who have gone before us and are with Christ, let us give thanks to the Lord. Thanks be to God. Help, save,
comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord. To you, O Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen.
We conclude with hymn 433, 433. Glory be to Jesus.
Be with you.